2. A Gospel Framework for Understanding Discipline. Suppose an American football player joined some friends for a game of soccer. Then, mid-game, he reached down and picked up the soccer ball and began to run with it. The referee, no doubt, would blow his whistle and call a foul. At this point, the American football player might look back at the referee with bewilderment on his face. Why the whistle? Why the foul? He was simply doing what he always does, grab the ball and run. In response, one could explain to the American football player that, except for the goalie, soccer players cannot touch the ball with their hands. Now get back to the game and don't make that mistake again. Or one could take a little more time to explain how the game of soccer works. Soccer is, by definition, a game for the feet, not the hands. The very thing which makes soccer fascinating to watch is the ability of skillful players to exert control over the ball without ever using their hands. It's not without reason that every nation in the world except America calls the game football. The American football player didn't just break a rule, he broke a rule that defines the game's very purpose. Church discipline, likewise, can be described in two ways. One can describe it as the act of correcting sin, like blowing a whistle against a foul in the Christian life. Or better, one can try to understand the act of blowing the whistle within the larger framework of the gospel, the church, and the purposes of the Christian life. Placing the act of discipline into this larger theological framework, what I'm calling a gospel framework, will help us exercise the discernment that is inevitably required amidst the many circumstances of sin in a church. Lying, for instance, is a foul. Does that mean the whole church needs to get involved every time a member lies? Of course not. So much depends on all the circumstances surrounding the lie or lies. How consequential is it? Is the individual persisting in it? Is it a pattern? Somewhere there's a line in between a lie worth addressing in private and a lie worth addressing in public. How do we know when that line is crossed? That's the practical challenge of church discipline. That's precisely where so much wisdom is required. My contention is that church leaders will be better equipped to figure out where that line falls if they understand their corrective activity with